This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
I'm going to be ministering on fasting and prayer for a fresh anointing. And I believe that everybody's looking for a fresh outlook. You know, like a lot of times what we do is we buy things, like I bought this new jacket, and to change our moods, to you know, something new. Yes. Sometimes we buy a new car and it makes us feel good, or we buy something and does anybody ever do that? You know, you're down, you're depressed, you go shopping. Is there anybody like that? Nobody like that in here. Nobody likes to shop when you're down. Amen. Just to get up, you know, you buy something new and it makes you feel new. And so I really believe that God wants to put the new on each one of us. You believe that today? Amen. That God wants us having a fresh perspective of Him. Amen? And so we have to understand this, that every encounter with God should be new. In other words, when we come to church, we should come expecting that when we come in, that we should leave differently. Amen. You know, when the priest and the high priest, when they in the Old Testament, when they entered the Holy of Holies and they worshiped the Lord, they would go in one way and come out a different way. They never came out the same way they came in. Amen. And so I'm going to say this, that every Sunday it should be a transformation time for each one of us. And God wants us to be transformed. He doesn't want to stay in the same in our faith. Do you know that? That God wants us growing. Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants you growing. Yes. Amen. And so I'm not saying heavier. Amen. But God wants you growing in more depth. He wants you growing in Him. In other words, there's a scripture that says that we're supposed to go from glory to valley. No, to glory to glory. Amen. From faith to faith. So in this walk with God, we should be getting better. We should be growing in greater faith. We shouldn't be going, you know, our finances should be going up. You say, but Pastor, I've been in a deficit. Yeah, but God wants you, you know, may you increase and your family increase more and more. So God wants us increasing. One person built their ministry, one of their slogans is ever increasing faith. Amen. Ever increasing faith. God wants us to increase in our faith. And I really believe that we need to have a God encounter. And so when you're seeking God and you're truly seeking Him, He wants to reveal Himself to us. Do you believe that today? And I like what it says in Matthew 9, 14 and 17. And if you can go there, we're going to look at this. And this is a fasting scripture. I've hit on it in the past three or four weeks that I've been ministering on fasting. And it's a really great scripture. But it says here in Matthew 9, 14 through 17. I'm trying to give my man here a little time to get it there. And it says here, one day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked Him, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? This is interesting. It was John the Baptist's disciples. Amen. And we know this, that John was a prophet, right? But he was the last of the Old Testament prophets. And Jesus actually said he was one of the greatest prophets. Amen. And so he was one of the greatest prophets, and he was actually ending the era of the Old Testament, and Jesus was beginning the new era of the New Testament. You know, Jesus was a prophet. Yes, amen. Amen. And so you had John that was ending. He was a prophet. Remember when Jesus said that those that are saved will be greater than John the Baptist? Why is that? Because we have the living God not just upon us, like the prophets did on old, but we have the living God inside of us. Amen. Somebody say, God in me. God in me. The hope of glory. How many people believe that this morning? How many people believe that God is in you? Amen. You got to believe that God is in you, the hope of glory. And so, in other words, Jesus said, greater works that we will do. We can do greater works than Jesus. And you might say, wow, Pastor, that's getting a little out there. No, but Jesus actually said that. Jesus said that greater works you will do because he goes to the Father on our behalf. Amen? In other words, Jesus preached to multitudes, but you can be on TV and preach to multitudes. Probably a lot more people, millions, than what Jesus preached to at that time. He may have been preaching to 10, you know, thousands of people, but now we can do it through TV, we can do it through the internet. We can minister in a greater capacity and win more souls into the kingdom of God. Amen. So he says here, one day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? And Jesus replied, do wedding guests mourn when celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them. I'm reading out of New Living Translation. And then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing on new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving even a bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst for the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining it, the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Now, you got to think about the culture of that time. And sometimes they would have wine in these wine pouches. Amen? And sometimes the wine pouches would get old and crusty. And new wine, it could cause it to burst out. So Jesus was talking about, you know, new wine and new wineskins. And what he's talking about is really connected to having a relationship with God, having a revelation of God's goodness. And he was saying here is that if God's going to do something new in our lives, hello, are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? We're going to have to be ready for it. We may have to be ready to change some things in our life for God to move in our life. There might be some areas in our life when we encounter God, God may reveal something for us to do or for us something to change or for us to let go of something. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And see, sometimes people don't want to seek God because they have a fear that God might tell them to do something they don't want to do. Have you some people rather just have a surface because they want to kind of live their life surface as Christians. But I'm telling you that the greater glory is when we go deeper. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The greater, it's okay. Yes, we can live a nominal, good Christian life, surface Christian, and we'll still make it to heaven. But who wants to live that kind of life? Amen. I want a life like Jesus talks about, a life that says that we're supposed to have abundant life, overflowing to the fullness. And I want that abundant life. I want overflowing life. I don't want to just have an ordinary, average, humdrum life. I need God in my life. And so hopefully in this fasting prayer, hopefully you got, you know, a God connection that you sense the presence of God, that God has revealed some things to you. You know, last week I talked about that we need a fast to enter into the rest. Amen. And in other words, we got to get to a point where we're not worrying about everything. Amen. And I talked about that we need to enter into the rest of the Lord. And I talked about last week at the end of my message is that God will either deliver us from something or he will deliver us through something. Amen. Do you remember that? Yes. And sometimes he will deliver us from some things. And sometimes he will deliver us through some things. Yeah, yeah. Now, like I said, you know, I there's some people and that I know that caught the coronavirus, and there's people I know that it hasn't. I'm praying that I'm going to be delivered from it. Amen. Amen. In other words, that I'm not going to catch it. But even if I do, I'll be delivered through it. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? In other words, God is in your boat either way. But when you are delivered through it, you learn some things. And normally sometimes we have problems, and the people that learn to stand on faith and walk in faith and they're able to come out of their problems in faith, they're stronger than those that just get a miracle to get out of their problem. Sometimes a miracle happens so instantaneous, we don't know how it happened. It may have been a gift of God. We were in the service, all of a sudden we get the miracle. And then a lot of times people that get miracles go back into their same problems. I know people that got their financial debts paid off, a miracle. God did a miracle, and they're back in debt. Why? Because they never learned anything. So what am I saying? I'm saying that God teaches us through the processes of life. And when we learn through nobody wants to hear that. We all want that miracle. I mean, Yin says, the lotto is really big right now. Should we play it? I mean, it's up to $1 billion. I said, no. Have you ever heard of tithing and giving offerings? That's God's financial plan for the church. Yes. Amen. And but she was just kidding, but it'd be nice. It's up to $1 billion. What would happen if you won the $1 billion? How would your life change? It shouldn't really change that much. You say, yeah, I'm out of here. I'm in Hawaii next week, right? I'm going on, I guess they don't do cruises anymore. But are you listening? I'm out. Could you imagine if you won the $1 billion lottery? What would you do? I mean, some of you might just quit your job. Oh, I'm out. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? But you know, would you be more happy with $1 billion? Would you? Some people say, yeah, I would. You think you would, but really, if you're not happy with what you got now, you really, that $1 billion, once you have everything, you won't be happy after that. That's right. In other words, if you can't move into a place with your relationship with God where you're excited now, the money's not going to sustain the excitement. Right. It's just going to be stuff. Right. It's just going to be a big house. Yes, you got the maids and you got people working, cutting your grass. You got everybody. I don't want a big house. I don't want to cut that grass. You hire somebody to do that. You've got the money to buy the big house. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? But all that doesn't make you happy. Amen. Winning the lottery. You see all these people, Elvis and all these rich people that they end up dying early and tragic deaths, and they had money and they had fame and they had all this, because none of that really is going to sustain our happiness or our joy level. It's only God. Amen. Until we get that revelation, we think, oh, if I could just, once I get this thing, once I get my house, once I get the job, once I get this situation taken care of, I'm going to be happy. No, you better start getting happy now. Amen. I'm talking about a fresh perspective or a fresh anointing this morning. And I was reading Brother Hagin. He was in the ministry for many years, and he learned how to walk in healing, and he, if anything would attack his body, he was really strong on faith for healing. We can be strong in faith in different areas of our life. Some people can be strong in faith in getting people saved. Some people can be strong in faith in walking in love. Some people can be strong in faith in being a giver. You're strong. You're strong in faith in giving, and so he was strong in faith in healing, and he was, it took him many years before he really started prospering in God. He would preach prosperity, but he was broke. He had bald tires on his car. He'd be driving his car down the road, and his car was, because he put lots of miles, because he would drive all over the place to different churches ministering. He was an itinerant minister. And those bald tires would be rolling. And all of a sudden, he knew he had to get new tires. And then he would hear those tires saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do as the tires? You hear that? You go, hoom, hoom, hoom. Because, you know, the tire, you know, bald tires. Anybody ever driven on bald tires in here? What? Boom, boom. And you hear that hump, hump, hump. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And it would start singing, you know. And you know, he had to believe God. And so it's a process to believe God. And finally, he came to a point where he could even give $1 million back into the kingdom. Amen. He could sow $1 million. But at one time, he was broke. He was busted and disgusted. Amen. But he learned. He learned. And I'm trying to talk to you about a new attitude this morning. A new attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, get a new attitude. Or you could say a fresh anointing. Amen. And so he was praying one day. And he said, you know, God, you told me to leave the church. He pastored for 12 years. And then God said, I want you to stop pastoring. Let your church go and go minister out to different churches and teach them about faith and how to walk in faith. And so he started doing that. He did that out of obedience. And he started looking at his finances. And he said, God, my finances are lower now than when I was pastoring. When I was pastoring, you know, people would bring us food and fried chicken, you know, on Sunday afternoon, and people were nice and they would do things for us, and we had the house paid for, the parsonage, the church took care of that, and it was, you know, but the kids were adequately fed and they were adequately clothed, and now, you know, I'm looking at my finances and I'm doing a lot less now, and I'm obeying you, you know. And he said, God, I'm a man of faith. And then as he started praying and seeking God, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, and then Brother Hagin said, I stand on you know, the willing and obedient. Isaiah 1:18, I believe that. It says 1:18 and 19. Or it could be 1:19. The willing and obedient eat the best of the land. Amen. The willing and obedient. And he says, I'm willing and obedient. I eat the best land. And the Lord said, you don't practice the word. And he said, what? I do practice the word. I'm a stickler for the word. I walk in the word. I obey the word. I'm not. He wasn't a person that was out there sinning. He was doing everything he knew to walk out the word of God. And then, you know, the Lord said, well, you know, you're obedient, but your heart attitude stinks. Basically, you don't have a willing heart attitude. And the Lord revealed to him that if you get your heart attitude right in how you serve me, the blessing will come in. I will show you how to prosper. And so, you know, he just changes his attitude. You know, most of it is just an attitude check. Yes, I'm telling you, the other day I wanted a hamburger so bad. And, you know, and so I said, Yin, we need to go to the discount store. What is that discount store we shop at, Yen? Where's she at? Aldi's. And I said, we got to go to Aldi's because you can buy like twice as much food over at Aldi's, I think. And I like to get my grass-fed hamburger, right? And so they were all out of grass-fed. I was hungry for one of these big, fat, juicy hamburgers. Anybody like hamburgers in here? We can eat them now. Amen. And so I was hungry for a fat, juicy hamburger. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody like hamburger? A good hamburger? I like bacon on it. Amen? And an egg over easy on top. Glory to God. Man, that's almost like in heaven. But anyway, we'll continue. Try it sometime. You'll love it. And so she brought back turkey. Turkey instead of beef because they didn't have it. And I just thought to myself, you know what? I said, why don't you make a turkey burger for me? And she said, yeah. She hadn't made a turkey burger. I don't even know if she's ever made a turkey burger for me. I can't even remember. I said, why don't you make it? Let's just switch it up and just change it out. You know, sometimes we're so set in our ways. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? I mean, we're so set in how we do things. Unless it's done exactly the way we think it should be done, we're not happy. Have you ever been there? We get set in our ways, don't we? We want it a certain way. Well, it wasn't the way I wanted it, but she made that turkey hamburger, and it was one of the best turkey hamburgers I've ever... And, of course, I hadn't eaten 8 hours. But are you listening to what I'm saying? Yeah. Almost anything's good, Pastor, when you have... Well, actually, it was probably more like 18 hours. It was about 18 hours. And she made this burger. And I'm telling you, it tastes as good or better than the beef burger. I'm thinking I'm going to start getting healthy. I'm going to start eating some more turkey. In other words, sometimes God will allow, maybe it could be like a setback. It could like maybe something that just didn't work out. Why? Because God's gonna work something better. Amen. God's gonna work something better out. God's gonna reveal some truth in the process of our pain in our life. And if he can reveal some truth like he did to Brother Hagin, he told Brother Hagin what he needed to do to start prospering, and it worked, and Brother Hagin started prospering financially, started getting financially blessed. He ended up buying a new car, and God just prospered him. Amen. And so what we need is we need a revelation, a God encounter, and most of it is an attitude check. Amen. I was kind of angry at the very beginning of last year in March when all the rules about the mask was coming up, and I was like, and then I started studying about the mask, and I started saying, well, there are adverse effects of wearing one because you're breathing in your own CO2, and I was just kind of bucking the system. And then I ended up like walking into Starbucks, and they yelled at me for having my mask down below my nose and put it up, and I got angry, and I started getting an attitude about all this stuff. And now, I go into Starbucks, I got that mask all up. I'm in there. Why? I just don't want to get yelled at. I don't want them yelling at me anymore. It ain't no big deal. I'll wear it over my nose. Okay, fine. It's only going to be for a couple seconds. I run in, I grab my coffee because I ordered ahead of time. I just run in, have it, leave. And I'm just, and I've learned through the process, even though I don't like some things, I'll just do it because I'd rather have peace. It's not enough for me to fight the system. So now I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Sometimes I walk away from my car or get out of my car and I forget my mask. Oh, walk back to the car. Amen. And so what I'm saying, I'm just saying that we just need to learn. I was mad at my gym for so long because they didn't have the mats down. And I was had an attitude, and I just changed my attitude. And now, instead of getting in with a chip on my shoulder and all that, I'm just changing it. And now I'm the nice guy over there. They were saying, oh, we're shutting down Sunday mornings over there. I said, what? And people started arguing. With the guy over there. We're shutting down. We're going to go 24/7. I don't know if anybody works out over there at the Y, but they're going to go like 24/7 where you can come in and there's nobody there to greet you. And I'm thinking, praise God. I like that. I don't have to have the 5-degree questions. Amen. And praise God. And so these people were arguing, you're going to cut down. I don't work out on Sundays anyway, so I'm fine with that. And then Fridays are going to shut down at 2. And then the rest of the week, anybody know what I'm talking about? And I said, well, I'll just adjust my schedule because I'm very flexible in my time. But they were arguing with the guy, I can't believe it. And so when I walking out, this guy got beat up by all these other people. I said, man, I'm so glad you're changing everything. He said, really? Yeah, I'm so glad you're changing everything, man. It's going to be so good. 24/7. I don't have to see you when I come in. No, I didn't say that. But I don't have to deal with all this stuff. I can just come right in. And the guy was like, wow, I'm so glad that you're into it. And now I'm like the positive person over there. Of course, I was positive because remember last week I told you that they shut down my gym early and I got mad at the guy. And I said, I'm a paying customer. Well, to be honest, I wasn't a paying customer because my credit card, I changed it out. And so I was delinquent. In my payments over there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I was delinquent. So they said, Mr. Lambert, you hadn't paid in almost 2 months. Are you going to pay your bill? Yes, I am. I didn't know that. So when I said, I'm a paying customer, I really wasn't. You guys remember that last week? I told you about that guy closed early, and then I came in, and I only had 15 minutes to work out. And so I wasn't a paying customer. So you know what she did? She was so nice. She said, I'm not going to charge you for last month. I'm just going to put 10 bucks on you. And I saved like 60 bucks. It was like $45 a month. I said, wow, that's great. And then they don't have any mats for me to do my workout in. And I got on Amazon, I'm going to buy a $40 mat and bring it in. Maybe lease it out to some of the people over there. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And then make it a win. See, you got to make things a win in your life. Even though it may not look good, things ain't working out, make it a win. Figure out how to make it a win. God can show you how to make something that may look like it's losing a winner. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And so he's saying here, Jesus is saying that for him to pour new wine in wineskins, we have to have a fresh attitude. Look at your neighbor again. Get a fresh attitude. So now we got to think about this. And we got to think about that every encounter of God in the people's lives in the Bible, it was a good encounter with these people. Mostly with most of them. Some of them that weren't a good encounter, like the guy with the handwriting on the wall. That guy was toast. But most of the people that were the patriarchs and even the disciples in the New Testament, whenever they got an encounter with God, they were blessed. Think about that. When Noah got an encounter with God, God revealed to Noah that the earth, that he was going to rain on the earth and flood the earth out, and he gave Noah, you know, an assignment to build, you know, the boat, the ark. And so Noah had an encounter with God. It gave him fresh perspective. It gave him fresh life. He had vision in his life. He had something to live for. And you know, it needs to be more than just us paying our bills and just surviving. Amen. Life needs to be more than just surviving. Yes, amen. It needs to be more than just making it. Yes, amen. No, we need to get a God encounter to get a fresh vision. And when we have a fresh vision, I'm telling you, our life takes on a whole new meaning. And what it is when our vision is low or we have no vision and we don't know where we're going and we're just trying to make it from day in and day out, it makes life hard. Amen. We're going somewhere. Yes. You're going somewhere. Yes. It may not look like it. It may look like you got some setbacks, but God is about ready to help you make that comeback.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And so with Noah, God spoke to him, gave him the schematics for the ark. He built the ark, saved his family, and then God, you know, redid the covenant with him and blessed him all over again. Yeah. And remember when Noah came off that boat, he worshiped God, and the Bible says that he did a sacrifice and honored God, and as that smoke came up from the sacrifice, what the Bible says, it was like a sweet smelling aroma. And then God said, I will never flood out the earth again. Remember that? Because of man, I will not flood it out again. And the rainbow is the promise. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And so Noah saved not only his family, but the human race.
Amen.
See, God is raising some of us up to be saviors of our family. To be praying for our family. You may be raised up to help your neighbor, to bring your neighbor into the kingdom of God. You don't know who God is going to connect you with. That might be, you could be the next Billy Graham, or somebody you meet could be the next Billy Graham.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And so God will always reveal to us that we're greater than what we are today. He will always bring in greatness into our life. With Abraham was just doing his own thing, and God pulled him out of his family, said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. All the families of the earth will be blessed through your seed. That's amazing. And all through Abraham's life, his name was Abraham, and God changed his name to Abraham, father of many nations. He was barren, basically. His wife was barren. They had the wealth, but they didn't have the promised child. And so finally, God said, you know, you're going to have a family. And then he had the God encounter. This time next year, you will have a son. And his name would be called Isaac. It was a process. It was 25 years of a process to get him to all the way to the point where God challenged and tested his faith to ask him if he would sacrifice Isaac. All this time took a process for him to learn to trust God. It was the big test. See, all of us are headed towards a test. All of us are headed towards, and are we founded on the truth of God's word to be able to make it through the test? Say, yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Amen. And that major test was the test of him sacrificing, Isaac. And when he went up on that mountain, to do that, the angel stopped him, right? But see, Abraham believed he would have raised him up anyway. And that's the reason why he's called the father of our faith, because he believed that God could raise the dead, even his son. Because God cannot lie. And so that's the reason. And then God revealed to him, because you did this, he reiterated, all the families of the earth will be blessed through your seed. Yes. Now we get to Jesus. And Jesus is being raised up, right? He's the Son of God. Never done a miracle. And his act of obedience was to get water baptized. And so he gets water baptized, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on him. And the voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus had the God encounter. Jesus had the revelation. God is pleased with me. God loves me. Oh, there's not. You see, once you get a revelation of how much God loves you, how much He is really for you today. But Pastor, all these things are against me. Man, you don't know. I was reading, about the patriarch. It was Jacob. And Jacob, had his 12 sons, and Joseph was a son that he thought was dead. And then, it was a famine. Everything looked bad. And Jacob, which really his name was changed to Israel, prince. But Jacob, saw things bad, and his brothers came down from Egypt from getting the grain and said, "Hey, Dad, we got to take Benjamin back up there, because the Pharaoh, we talked to the Pharaoh, and he wants to know that we were telling the truth. He thought we were spies." And he's like, "Oh, I don't want to lose Benjamin. I've already lost Joseph." And he said, "If we don't, we're going to starve." So they let him go, right? And then finally, Jacob cries out, "Lord, everything's against me." Yes. Have you ever felt like everything was against you? But do you know that God was working something out for Jacob? Did you know that he was working something out through his son Joseph? See, he didn't know Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, that Joseph was the wealthiest man besides the Pharaoh in the entire nation and probably the world. Joseph, he even said, I'm like a father to the Pharaoh. Ooh, that's pretty good clout. Think about that. And then Joseph, he ended up, sending a caravan, and he told his brothers, "Get Dad, bring him back here. We're going to take care of you." And when Jacob was praying, the Lord said, "Go down to Egypt." And he revealed to Jacob, he said, that you're going to see your son Joseph again, your son that you love, and he will be with you even on the last day, and he will close your eyes when you die. Think about that. And so you know what? Even though it looked like, he said, all things are against me. They weren't. Sometimes we feel like all things are against us, and we can't seem to get ahead, and it seems like we pay one bill and another bill pops up, or something breaks down. Or you listen to what? And it seems, no, God's working some things out. God's working some things out behind the scenes. We don't see everything. It's like that song, "He's working, He's working." We may not see Him working, but He's working. Is your faith working this morning? Are you believing God that He's going to do some awesome things in your life? Do you believe He's working beneath the scenes? Do you believe that your prayers are making a difference? Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Yeah. But you got to run on the vision. You know, we are the seed of Abraham. Yeah. We have the blessing of God. The Bible says we're redeemed from the curse of the law. In other words, we have the blessing of Abraham. You could turn around and say, we have the blessing of Abraham. What do we have? We have eternal life. We have the right to enter into the throne room of God without fear, without intimidation. We can come in boldly to obtain grace in time of need. We can come in. We have a relationship with God. I'm telling you, it's not what you know, it's who you know, and do you know Him? Because He can get you where you need to go. I'm telling you, it's never a waste of time to put your time in the Word of God. It's never a waste of time to praise God. It's never a waste of time to prayer.
Amen.
So I'm going to give you three keys. I'm going to try to close this down real quick. Three keys on how to have a fresh anointing in your life. The number one key is you have to ask. Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. So you have to ask God. Anybody that received anything from Jesus, mostly everybody that received anything from Jesus, sometimes Jesus would do things for people without them asking, but a lot of people that asked Jesus got their blessing. A lot of people, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, and they kept saying, shut up, old man, he doesn't want to hear you. And finally, he kept saying, Jesus, Jesus, he kept asking. Sometimes you just need to keep asking. He kept asking. You need to ask in faith. Thank you, Lord. I know you always hear me. As Jesus said when he was standing at the grave tomb of Lazarus. Jesus, Father God, I know you always hear me. But I'm going to do this miracle. Lazarus, come forth. We have to believe that God is hearing us.
Amen.
When we approach Him. We need to continue to ask in faith and believe. Amen. And number two, we gotta keep seeking the answer. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. Don't give up.
Amen.
Keep seeking the answer. Well, maybe God revealed to you you need to do a business, or maybe that you're going to have to do some research. You may have to learn how to do some things. You might have to get out of the box.
Amen.
Right? And so you got to start seeking. Amen? You got to continue to seek. And Jesus said, if you seek, you will find. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? Some of us just aren't, we're not in a search mode. We're not looking. We're just like, well, if God's going to lay it on me, He's just going to lay it on me. No, you better start seeking. Now, I know this group here, you're seeking because you're in church Sunday morning. You want something. You want a better life. You want greater glory. You want to see God move. You want to please God. You want God's heart to be moved by your faith. That's why you're showing up on Sunday morning. But some of you can say, well, no, I was dragged by my spouse. Well, are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? How many people want more in here?
Amen.
Want more revelation? I'm not just talking about financial blessing, but I want more life.
Amen.
I want to get up excited.
Yes.
I want to go to bed excited.
Amen.
I want that new zeal in my life. I want the gusto in my life. Remember Jimmy Connors when he played tennis and he would hit a really good shot, then he would go. Remember that? He would hit a shot, and Jimmy Connors, he was a New Yorker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So when God starts blessing you, you just go, yeah, devil. You have to point down because he's down on your feet. Yeah, devil. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening to what I'm saying today? God's moving us up.
Thank you, Lord.
God's moving us to the next level.
Thank you.
So we got to ask. Amen. We got to seek.
Yes.
And we got to knock.
Amen. Amen.
We got to keep knocking.
Yes.
And Jesus said that those that knock, the door will be open.
Yes.
How many people are knocking out here?
Yes.
How many people are knocking on the heart of God? Knocking and knocking and knocking. How do you do that? By praising God, thanking Him, speaking the Scriptures, believing that He's going to do it. Amen. I read in the Scriptures that He'll give the barren woman her own house. Wow. There's a Scripture for a house for the barren woman. Take it. He's going to give you a house. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today?
Yes.
Keep knocking. And as you keep knocking on that door of faith, I'm telling you, God will open that door and the grace of God will come in and radically change your entire life. Do you believe that today? God is moving. He's moving when we don't see Him moving. And I'm telling you, you're just one God connection away from your blessing. You're just one connection away from seeing the blessings of God in your life. You believe that today? I'm telling you, God is going to do it. I don't know what you're believing Him for, what you've been fasting and praying, but I believe that this year will be the year. This year is the year that your kids are coming back to God. This year, are you listening to what I'm saying to you? This year is the year that you're going to get your debts paid off in Jesus' name. This year, that ailing sickness that's been attacking you is going to leave in Jesus' name. It's just going to get up and go. You got to believe that. You got to continue to believe that. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And you will see the blessings of the Lord, not only in your life, but in the lives of all those around you. You believe that today? You might need to be the first one in your family to get the breakthrough. And I'm telling you, you're going to be the Pied Piper of the faith. Amen. That the other people in your family are going to see the grace and the miracles on your life. And they're going to say, what are you doing? Well, I'm just going to church, being obedient, being faithful, serving God. And now all these blessings are coming upon my life. And I'm telling you, you're going to make some of your siblings jealous because you're walking with God and they see the glory on your life. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are doing miracles. And Father, I know that you sometimes deliver us from the problems, and sometimes you deliver us through the problems. And Father God, regardless how you deliver us, you deliver us. And I thank you, Father God, that you're in that process of getting the blessing to each one of us as we ask, seek, and knock. And perhaps you're there watching online and you know it's time for you to ask Jesus to come into your life. It's time to make Jesus Lord of your life. And today is the day of salvation. So I want to encourage you to confess this prayer out loud and mean it in your heart so that the grace of God can come in your life so He can radically reveal His love to you. Say this and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe you were raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with the fullness of yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.